Man, Brennan and I were talking after the second service and just how honored we are and how honored we feel and how blessed we are to be able to see what God's doing in this church and in this body and in this area. And just, I mean, honestly, you have moments like this in worship where the church, which means the assembly of believers, that's who we are, just comes together to just authentically worship God and give him the praise that he so rightfully deserves. And Brennan and I were just talking after the first service and just what an honor it is to lead this church and what an honor it is that God has truly called us over 10 years ago for this purpose of Believers Chapel and what we're doing. And just, I don't know, man, it's so good. And just being in the middle of the summer and just seeing people's desire to come to church and seeing Children's Church grow in the middle of summer and just, I don't know, man, it's something special. I hope you know that it's something special. And we're honored to do this, and we're so blessed, and we just give God all the glory. And we're here for his sake and for people's sake and for the lost, the hurting and broken, and just, man, love what we're doing. And we're so blessed that God's hand is on this and his favor's on this, and he's blessing this church week after week. We're just blessed. And I don't know, man, it was just a great moment at the end of the first service, and just kind of came from the idea of what is happening, even in this series on and Live Simply, and then it turns into Simple Church, and just how church just doesn't have to be difficult, shouldn't be confusing, it shouldn't be a war zone, it should be a place of peace, it should be a place of joy. Listen, there's battle that will take place in the heavens. There's a battle that will take place for people's souls, eternal souls in this place, and we battle and we war, but we don't battle against flesh and blood. The church should be a place of peace, and the church should be a place of joy and laughter, and when there's time to get on our face and just go after in a warlike prayer, we do that, man. We battle, and we just go after it when necessary, and we're just honored to be in a place of Believer's Chapel and coming down to Simple Church. If you're here the last couple weeks, man, we you know who we are as a church, man. We're just a worship and word church. We believe God Almighty deserves to be worshiped. Jesus Christ, his son, came from heaven. Could you imagine that he left heaven for us, church? For that which was broken, that which was scarred, that which was full of filth and sin, that the King of Kings, the one who has been eternal, the one who, he didn't first start with Mary. He's been forever, and he left heaven. Perfection, his home of all eternity, to put on flesh for one reason, for you and me, so that we would have a hope of eternity with him. And then we just, how does he not deserve to be worshipped? We talked about that 2 weeks ago, and then last week we talked about how we're a word church. We believe the word of God is truth. And if you're a follower of Christ, you should be a follower of the word. And if you're a follower of the word, then you ought to live it out. You ought to look at the scriptures and say, man, I want to walk into obedience to this. What does God say about this? What does God say about that? And last week we talked, we're not looking at political view. We're not looking at popular view. We're not looking at your parents' view. We're not looking at your friends' view. We're not looking at education's view. We're looking at God's view. What does God say? Then let's just follow that. Let's just do that. And that's truth. And we're a people who say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Then you have to say, yes, I believe in the Bible. Because he is the word. And he put himself on page that we may know him. And we're a church that believes that this is the absolute truth. And in that, it goes further than just saying that you and I ought to live out truth. That's who we are. Believers Chapel, we want to live out truth. We want to see this and live it out. So we're a worship of word church. That just makes church simple. It doesn't make it confusing. It's not difficult. It's not weird. It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be, and it won't be here. It's just simple. When we started this ministry 10 years ago in our living room, it was Renee and I, Brennan and Therese. We just said, I don't care what God does in a sense of size or where we're going to go or wherever we're going to end up. Let's just always just keep it simple. Let's just worship God. Let's believe the word is truth. Can't change. And then today is, let's just build a community that loves church. Let's build a community. Watch this now. Let's just build a community that loves the community. Why? Because that should be church. And today is just community. Like, what does it mean to be in a community, in an assembly of believers that honestly knows what it is to love? And what does it mean that you're a part of a community? You see, understand this, please. I can't get in the depth of this right now. We chose in the very beginning not to have membership. I've been in churches that have membership. There's good, bad, and the ugly of all of it. And I try to park in scripture and see, you know, is there value to that? Is there not? We did baseline, bottom line of everything that we've done in our tenets of faith come from scripture. Everything that we've done in order of this church have come from chapter and verse. And there's a reason why we don't have membership is honestly, this is the deal. I just want you. We've wanted to build a community of people that want to just be a part of the community. We just want you to want to be. I never want someone to be in this church only because, well, I'm a member there. That's why I go. Really? Because I'd rather you come because you love being here. I'd rather you just want to be a part of something that God is doing, that we're amazed by his grace. We come in and worship him, believe the word is truth, and then we go out in the community and we live lives with one another and we just can't wait to do it again. We can't wait to be a part of a community within the community that's going to go out and bless the community where we come in and we feel encouraged and we feel built up and we just can't wait to go back. That you find yourself being loyal and being consistent because you actually want to be here, not because you signed on some dotted line. And we love what's happening. Love that you love to be here. And one of the things that we hear so often from people walking this church, and I love it, and I think it's one of the top compliments that we can get is brand new people walk in this church and they say this. They say, I don't know, man, it was just from the moment I felt walk in this door, I felt like I belonged and I felt like family. Well, isn't that amazing? Shouldn't it be that way? We just belong to the Lord, and then we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we just understand what that family atmosphere looks like here in the church. It's amazing. You can turn with me, please, Matthew 22, and 1 Corinthians 13. Beautiful Renee, would you come up here, please, and pray for your husband? Come on. Amen. As you'll see here in a minute, when she comes in the light, we match. I dressed us this morning.
Twinning.
I'm like, honey, I'm going to wear this, and you can wear that, and we can... I did not do that. Come on. Come on, pray for your hubby. Love you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We thank you for just the wonderful worship, Father. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you would just anoint Sean's tongue to preach your word today, Lord, that his words would come from you, Father, that they would bless us, Lord, and work within our hearts, Lord God, to do what you need them to do, Lord. And God, that we would remember what you require of us, Lord God, that we would do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, that, Father, you would give us exactly what we need today to do just what you need us to do, Lord God, as your people, as your chosen holy people, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, baby. Come on. Awesome. Come on, if you would read with me, please, look at this, Matthew 22, and this is an amazing part of Scripture where Jesus simplifies life. He just simplifies life, and he makes it so simple for us. What would happen if we just actually follow Jesus' simplistic advice as we are as followers of him? And he looks at this. It says, verse 34, Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. You got to realize, man, right at the top, anytime you see Pharisees or scribes or Sadducees or chief priests, these guys were after Jesus. They weren't fans of Jesus. They wanted to test Jesus in order to trip Jesus up, to get him in order to stumble, to say the wrong thing in his actions or his words so that they could then pin him to a wall or pin him to the cross so that they could take him out because they were jealous of Jesus. Jesus came in and broke their rules and didn't like their rules that they set up for church that Jesus never actually set up for the body of Christ. And then they just began to hate him and resent him and want to test him and trap him and trip him up and get people to turn against him. But yet, in all of that, people began to follow him and it grew. So here they're testing Jesus, trying to trip up Jesus. And they said this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." If you read this throughout Scripture, you can see this in Deuteronomy. It says, husbands and wives, teach your children, teach your sons to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then you read in Mark 12, he adds one. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Look at this. Jesus said, listen, let me simplify this. You want to know the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is this. Love God with everything in you. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. This, I love this because this is what Jesus, he makes it so simple. This guy's looking for the top 10. Hey, out of the top 10, right? Exodus 20, what do you got for the top 10? Which one's the greatest commandment of all? And I love this. Jesus just says, okay, do this. Love God with everything you got. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your heart, everything from within. And then all your soul, the deepest inner person of who you are. Love God with all of that. And then with all of your mind, the things that you think about, everything that comes from your mind goes to your mouth or goes to your heart. You come to this place saying, okay, I'm going to think on this. And with my mind, I'm going to come to a place to love God with everything that filters through my mind. I want it to be filtered through the love that I have for God. And then all of my strength, which means my feet, my fingers and my toes and my hips. And we just come to a place with my energy and everything that I do from my strength, I want it done because of the love that I have for God. So everything, watch this now, everything that I think, everything that I say, and everything that I do, is it filtered by my love for God? Because Jesus said, listen, this is the very first, and this is the greatest commandment of all, is that you love God with everything in you. And then he says this, verse 39, and the second is like it. I see the teachers here, and I mean the Sadducees and the lawyers, and they're like, oh good, he's going to give us a list. Maybe we can trip him up on this list that he's going to give us. So the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that, you know, fly by that one. What's number three? Come on, what's like the fourth, fifth, sixth? Like, give me the order here. What is? She's like, that's it. Love God with everything in you and love people. Go and do that. Yeah, but what about like the third one? Well, what about like the fourth one? Well, if you honestly love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to walk in obedience to what he wrote down. And if you understand what it means to love just like Jesus loved, I want to love like he loved, then you're going to understand what it really means. Watch this, church, what it means to really love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. Wouldn't it be amazing in Jesus' simplicity of this thing, of all of life, saying, yep, love God, that'll rearrange everything you think, say, and do, kind of life. Everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do, if it's rearranged by my love of God and my filter, if it's all filtered through the lens of how I love him, it changes your whole life. I love how Jesus is smarter than anybody. And when they ask a question, he makes it so simple, but yet it rearranges everything about you when Jesus speaks. Because it rearranges your whole life. When you really get what he's saying here, everything that you think, everything that you feel, everything that you say, and everything that you do, when it's filtered through my love for God, then it changes everything about my life. Just do that. Oh, and the second is kind of like it. Love one another. Go and do that. I love how Jesus just makes it so simple. And what about simple church? What if we just came in as a group of people who just, honestly, we just came in to love God with everything in us as church people, just people who love the Lord, just people who just want to love him with everything in us. And it reflects in our response, and it reflects in our actions, and it reflects in our words. And then what happens when you come to a place to see where Jesus, and this is kind of where I want to park for a minute, is where Jesus says, okay, number two is like it. Go love one another. Come on, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, please. I want you to see this. This is... And if you've been to a wedding this summer, maybe you've heard it at a wedding. This isn't even a wedding scripture. He's not even speaking to husbands or wives, certainly used for husbands and wives, but it's Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and this is a corrective letter. When you read 1st or 2nd Corinthians, know that the Corinthian church, they were writing letters to Paul saying, we're a mess, things are going wrong, we don't know what's going on, people getting drunk at communion, sleeping around at the front of the church, like, that's bad. Hey, let's do communion again. I need to, get drunk again. Like, they were getting drunk at communion. That's a lot of juice, folks. The little cup's not going to cut it. And they're sleeping around within the church. There's immorality. And this is a serious corrective letter. So this is what Paul says. And he's coming off chapter 12, which is an amazing chapter on spiritual gifts. And they were really confused on spiritual gifts. And I love how, when we talked about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writing the Word of God, it is God-breathed. God is speaking through Paul here, and he says, let's just reorganize again and get the church back in order. That's what 1 Corinthians does. Puts things in order. And he says this, chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with tongues, now watch this, what it really means to have love. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I've been a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. You mean if I have all prophecy and all know all mysteries and know all knowledge, and I have such faith that I could literally speak to a mountain and that mountain is moved. If I really don't have love, I'm nothing. Watch this now. This is real. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned. You mean if I am that generous person, I just want to give all my possessions away? Matter of fact, I've actually sacrificed my life. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So I give and I give and I give, even to the point that I'm ready to sacrifice my body as a martyr. But if it's really not done in love, if there's self involved in that, you mean I get no gain from that? I want you to see how real this becomes. I want you to see in Paul's amazing, beautiful correction of the church. He says, let's get this thing back in Jesus' order here. Love God with everything in you. And we are called to love one another. Not complicated. Not out of order. And then he goes into some powerful scripture here and he says this. He tells us what love is. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. That's what we know. God is love. It's not like God acts in love, that God sometimes feels like loving his creation. No. The very definition of love is God. That's the definition of love. And the word agape, which is God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave. And we see here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says love is, it's that same word agape. The root meaning of agape is giver. One who always looks to give. What are we looking to give? What did God look to give? When it defines God is love. That's who God is. He can't change. He can't be anything other than that. God is love. And then we see here, love is. God is love. Therefore, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecoming, is not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. Watch this. Love is patient. And I love this because when you look at God as love and then you begin to break down the very definition here. I love where Scripture defines Scripture, where it gives us the definition of what love is. Love is patient. God is patient. And I'm telling you, man, there's parts of my testimony and parts of my world when I came home from college and I was just coming to that place of really falling in love with Jesus and falling in love with His Word. I can remember there's a moment that I'm on my knees in the living room. And I'm in this place, I'm on this fence where listen, I knew Jesus, loved Jesus, came to a place at 11 years old to get saved, got baptized at 12 years old, so pumped, grew up in the most amazing, incredible, godly Christian home that loved Jesus, directed us to church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and then youth group. It got old, quick. Aren't you glad we don't remember many, man? Never mind. Anyways, but I came to a place where never got into drugs. I've never done a drug in my life, but I had worldly friends, and we loved to drink, and we loved to party that way. And again, no drugs. It was never sexual, nothing. I didn't. That was not my world. I knew that I had one gift to give to my wife, and that was my virginity. So it wasn't like I'm not the werewolf to Jesus story. I love Jesus. I came to this place to know Christ. But there's moments in high school and in college where I just love to party with my friends in a sense of alcohol. But then there is that moment that I'm on my knees of just brokenness because I'm one who knew better. And when you talk about His patience, the word patience, it means long-suffering. And I'm on my knees and I never forget it. And I'm just like, God, You have been so patient with me. It's not like I grew up in a bad home and I didn't know. I knew all this. And I really felt in my heart the reality of this, where I was on this fence, and I really felt in my heart where it was like you could jump off on this side of the fence and you can follow hard after me and you will never turn back. And I just felt in my heart where there's this sense of, when I have plans for you. Or, because I believe in choice, or you can fall back on the other side of the fence and it's going to be a long, hard road. That moment I understood that my God's love is patient, man. He's waited for me with someone who knew better, and it broke me. That's what patience is. What if we had patience with one another? What if we were long-suffering with one another? What if we weren't ones to be so quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater? What if we were so quick that we would have grace with one another? And number two is this. Look at this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Wouldn't it just be nice to be nice? Can't we just be nice? As a church, people who have Christ by His Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit reigns within us with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wouldn't it be nice if Christians were actually nice? As the body of Christ, we come into this place and we gather and then we go out and we have our Living Connected. We have our women's ministry, our men's ministry. We have our breakaway. Wouldn't it be nice if we were just kind? And the word kinder, it actually goes along with being generous. With the underlying, watch this now, here's the real deal, with the underlying thought of what it means to be authentic and genuine in your kindness. If you're always looking to be kind to get something, there's not really a genuine sense with that. But what is love? Love is patient. What is love? Love is kind. There is this just authentic sense, a genuineness about you of just wanting to be kind. To be kind-hearted, to go in with intent with the stores that you shop, with intent with the people on the phone, that you just show yourself to be kind. Excuse me. Have you ever come into a place where there's just miserable people around you? Miserable people in the grocery store? You probably met a few today, not here. This is before you got here, right? Maybe the gas station or something, but I'm sure it wasn't at church because we're kind. But that's When you talk about simple church, wouldn't it be amazing if we actually just understood what it was to love God and to love people and to have patience and honestly, sincerely, authentically, genuinely be kind? Watch this. Look at what it says. I love this. Here it says this. Love is not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It's not puffed up. It's not we're better than you. Listen. When you really understand simplicity of church is we want every race to walk in through these doors. Listen. We want. There's no difference between a male and a female in value in the genders. There's only two, by the way, just so you know that. And we understand what it is to really walk in a way to not feel like we're better than somebody. To not feel like, well, this gender is better than this gender, or this race is better than that race. Man, we want to reach every single possible race. We want to reach male and female. We want to reach old and young, and we want to reach age after age. We want to reach as many different, ethnic groups that are in our region, in our area. Man, we want to be a melting pot because we're just called to be love and not be arrogant and think that we're better than somebody. Wouldn't it be amazing if we actually believed the biblical truth that we all swam in the same pond? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you realize that every one of us stunk at one point? What happens if we just keep church simple? Honestly, just to love people. No matter what they look like. No matter what they smell like. No matter what color skin. What if we really didn't think that we're better than somebody? Because you know the reality of Scripture. So we all stunk at one point. But God's grace is so amazing that He pulled me out. And as a church, we should be so simple that we want Him to pull everybody else out. They're choosing His grace. Watch this. It's not unbecoming, which your version may say it's not rude. Love isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own. It isn't easily angered. And I love this one, right? This is it. Love does not keep a record of wrong. And listen, when you look at God as love, you look at this list, well, love is. And aren't you glad that God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Aren't you glad that He says, I remember your sin no more? We have a God who knows all things. I believe that really references not that He can't remember. I believe that honestly references that He chooses not to bring it up again. There's a difference. We believe in a God, He knows everything. There's nothing He doesn't know. He knows it all. But we have a God who says, and I love your version may actually say this, love, watch this, does not keep a record of wrong. I love that in a church sense. Wouldn't it be amazing that we're not record keepers? Well, you did this wrong, and I remember you confessed this, and you did this, and you did this, and your sin was there, and we're not ones who keep a record of wrong because we understand what it means to repent. Listen, if you're not repentant and you're acting like a buffoon, we can come to a place and say, hey, look at this is biblically speaking, you should probably rearrange some things because we love you and we care for you, and you should repent from that, biblically speaking. But then we're not going to write it down and say, you remember last year. And this is so good for marriage. Well, you remember last week? You remember last month? You remember yesterday? You remember and you remember? You remember? Well, amazingly, the Bible says love shouldn't keep a record of wrong. Aren't you glad for that? Because we have a God who says, Ashan, I buried your sin in the depth of the sea. Ashan, I've removed it. As far as the east is from the west, Ashan, that has been covered under the blood and it has been washed white as snow. And I make a choice not to bring it up again. Ashan, how about you? That we wouldn't really hold a grudge and keep a record of wrong. Watch this now. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. And the word bears here, it means to put up with. Isn't it amazing that we actually at times have to act like a family? Isn't it amazing that there's times that you just have to put up with your brother and you have to put up with your sister at home? Isn't it times you have to put up with your kids, if you know what I'm saying, right? There's times that you even have to put up with your parents. That's family, though. That's family. You realize that we've all been called children of God, which means the Bible actually says that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you know what that actually means? That we're family. And there's times that family in the church is going to get under your skin. There's times family in the church, you may not agree with some particular things, but there's times even in your own family. That's why I try to be so careful. Even in my own family, my brothers and my wife and my children and my parents, that there's times I just have to put up with it. Never with Renee, though, ever. It's just everyone else, but never Renee. But then how many times you equate it back to church? Because if you really look at the simplicity of church, we're a family. And again, going back to my opening statement, that people would walk in this place and just kind of feel like they were home. Like I just felt like I was family when I walked in this place. Because we have done something from the very beginning from our living room, is we have taught our greeters and ourselves and our staff and our people, not just those who are serving on that Sunday, but people, you, that when people walk in this place, I want them to be celebrated and not tolerated. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care where they have tattoos. I would love a tattoo one day. Working on it. But my daughter gave me a birthday gift. It's $100 towards tattoos when we can both go get them. Renee said, not now. Anyways, get on target. Come on. Back on. The point is that I just want every single person who walks in these doors to be celebrated. Because the reality is this, just maybe, no one on the outside of this door has ever celebrated them. What if the hurting and broken came in and we were just a group of people who are a family who just says, I'm going to celebrate you today. And then they come in and be part of a worship service where they just see this whole family loving their father. And that guy moves in their heart in a way that just rearranges them, all because someone at the door said, we're pumped you're here. You could be anywhere else, but you find yourself here and we're so blown away. What happens when that pattern continues week after week into months, into years, into living connected groups that people just feel celebrated? Oh, and then watch this. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you quit on people? Have you quit on love? Because love endures. We had a moment in the first service after worship where we were singing about his faithfulness. And I see again, God is love, and we see that love is, and love endures all things, which means endures, it means it doesn't quit. You realize that, can I say this in all truth to you this morning? God never quit on you. God never gave up on you. God is never late. Listen, watch. He is faithful. He never misses, ever. God never misses, ever. And he is faithful. And even if you're backslidden, even if you're in that place where you've drifted, he waits. He doesn't throw you out. Listen, we in our minds, and it's so easy, and there's times that I've done this, and there's times that I do this. Out of sight, out of mind. You ever heard that? Have you lived that? Out of sight, out of mind. I love that God is never out of sight, out of mind. We're always on his mind. You get the picture in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, where you got the father, who is a picture of our father, God, who waits and looks and watches and waits and looks and watches and waits and looks and sees and then runs and runs after him. It just wraps his son up. Listen, church. What happens when we buy into the truth that love endures all things? Love never gives up. And it doesn't give up on people, because God has never given up on you. And he's never given up on me. And he'll wait, and he'll wait, and he'll wait, and he'll wait. And then on that step towards him, he'll run towards you to embrace you, to say, I've been waiting. Son, it's never been out of sight, out of mind. I'm so behind in time, but it's that sense where the son, and this is all added, I don't even plan on saying this, but the son in that story, he's the one who, the son was out of sight, out of mind. Really, you're coming back? Really, we're going to throw a party for him? After all he's done, after all he's said? I just think there's times that we're that son in the sense of our love doesn't really endure all that long, because once you're out of sight, you're out of mind. Let's not do that. And then the three most beautiful words in verse 8, love never fails. God is love and God never fails. And this is just what Jesus said. Up, top two. Love the Lord your heart, the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do that. What if we actually loved like Jesus, church? I just got to share this last story. Please just give me a couple minutes. It'll be worth it. Great story from BC, and it's one of those moments is Renee and I are just, honestly, man, we look at it as such a privilege to lead this church, and it's one of the moments that you become so very, very proud of your people. So very amazed that, God, we have the greatest people on the planet because they get it, church. I don't preach this because we don't get it. I don't preach this because there needs to be a 1 Corinthians 13 correction in this church. I preach this because I'm amazed at where we're at, and I want to continue what's going on here. And that just the simplicity of church, we just keep it simple. Worship, word, community. What does that look like? As you know, we've been praying for Levi Weaver as he was in that explosion accident and caused him to have a broken back, and he's still in the hospital. And then Tim Weaver, through our man Jim Haley, who's just an incredible man of God, just a great servant in this church, said, I'm going to put together work parties. And it was one weekend, and then it turned into one Saturday, and it turned into a second Saturday, and it turned into a third Saturday, and then it turned into a fourth Saturday. I want to show you these pictures. And this is just the church. This is all because Levi is probably going to be coming home in a wheelchair. And they're just like, well, we got to do some things to finish a plan that we had, but now we need to make it wheelchair accessible because of what's going on. And then all of a sudden, this is where it started. And then you have the second picture. And this is only four Saturdays. And they start doing this work. And then you have the third picture. And this is between 8 and 12 men. And ladies were showing up and just doing incredibly, working so hard. And then this is the third picture of a project. Then yesterday they went in and they started working on walls and ceilings and doing things inside. And then you have this good-looking dude, right? That's not me. That's my man Jim Haley, who is... he's a good-looking man with the bald head. Chicks dig it. It's cool, man. Our chicks dig it. And then you've got the moon right now. What a shot that is, right? That's an incredible shot. I love it. My chick loves my bald head, and his chick loves his bald head. Man, pick up the secret. Here we go. Anyways, and then I get this text from Teresa, because Feeding Grace stepped in. And you say, I love this because this is church. Like-minded, like-valued people who just come to place to want to serve and want to love one another. This is one of those amazing responses to a young lady who made a meal for the men and for the women who were working on the house on a Saturday, and this is what she says. Today, as I drove away from the Weaver's home, I was moved to tears. Our church and this ministry is amazing. I thought the guys were making their home wheelchair accessible. I missed that they were building this large addition to help. I always feel a sense of joy and peace when I deliver a meal to a family. But today I felt something so much bigger. I wish I could put what I was feeling into words, but I can't. I'm so thankful that I came to BC back in the fall. Blessed to have inquired about Feeding Grace. This is just one example of what the Bible says in Romans 12:15. Folks, we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we're called to weep with those who weep. Listen, we are called to rejoice and celebrate with those who are celebrating. And we're called to come alongside and hurt with those who hurt. And man, we have that community here, and it's so good. And I'm so thankful to what God is doing here through this body. Let me just share that I want to be very careful, because you know what the biggest problems or the biggest sins of the church are? It's not pornography, which you hear a lot. It's not immorality, which you hear a lot. The biggest sins of the church isn't greed, which you hear a lot. You know what the biggest sins of the church? Pornography is not a community killer. Immorality is a personal issue, not a community killer. Greed, not a community killer. You know what the community killers are and the biggest sins of the church? Gossip, slander, being a whisperer, talking about people. Bible says this in Proverbs 16:28, a slanderer will separate intimate friends. You ever been a part of a close friendship that got separated because somebody else wanted to talk about you, or somebody else wanted to slander, or somebody else? Church, can I just share, like, that's the biggest issue in church today. That's the biggest issue of, I would say, almost every church. You hear so much about pornography. You hear so much about immorality. You hear so much about greed. Problems, yes, but they're not community killers. We have something so amazing here. And God has so blessed this church. Why don't we just stick to what it is and the simplicity of what God said? Love him with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let's love people. There's moments you're going to have to put up with one another. There's moments you're going to have to endure. There's moments you're going to have to get through, but please, do not be one who kills community. And I say that not because that's happening. I say that because we have such an amazing thing going. Just guard yourself. Guard yourself. Because the enemy would love to come in here and spread deception. He'd love to come in here and start misleading people. He'd love to come in here and pinpoint you to be the one to be a community killer. And we have such an amazing thing happening here, which we are so proud of as a church. And that we would come to a place to say, let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it simple. Let's have a church that knows what it is to worship. Let's have a church that follows the word of God and lives it out. And let's have a church that knows what it is to love. To love God and to love people. And to walk in that and watch what God will do. And watch, I'm telling you, watch what God will do in this place. When we really continue to love people, wherever they're at, we just love people. And we begin to build one another. Come on, let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much. Man, thank you for the patience, because you have to love, and it's patient to be loving of our people this morning, going a little extra. They're patient with me because they're walking in love. What a demonstration. Lord, thank you. We love you. God, let us be a church that just keeps it simple in our community, to know what it is to love one another. To know what it is to truly walk in that sense of love and celebrating one another and building one another and crying with one another and rejoicing one another and walking in that sense to remember, Father, you are all of our fathers, and that makes us family. That makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, and that makes us family together, God. And we will walk in a way to win this region. And we will celebrate every person who walks through these doors for your glory, God. So they will come in and they will see us worshiping our Father, and they will see us worshiping our Savior and you, Christ, and they will see us living out the truth of what it means to really love. Because God, you are the ultimate example of love, because you loved and you gave your only begotten Son. And Jesus, help us to love like you. God, there's so much ahead for us, God. Oh man, God, there's so much ahead for this church. Because because of the people you've drawn into this place, God. We thank you for drawing so many more. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, church. Thank you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Come on. Amen.